VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us as we deal with issues that you need to be made aware of. And so often you get such a one-sided, biased presentation from the media from a very leftist, secular, humanistic perspective that we thank you for listening. Here to Crosstalk, we seek to provide a biblical voice to the matters that are going on. The psalmist wrote, as recorded in Psalm 139, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, in that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Ladies and gentlemen, human life is sacred. Life is designed by God, who knit us in our mother's womb. Despite God being the author of life, there's a battle that is raging. Some states taking significant steps to preserve life, others doing all they can to destroy life. Here to discuss the matter with us, we welcome back Brad Mattis, the president and CEO of Life Issues Institute. They are the pro-life grassroots partner of the Susan B. Anthony List Education Fund. They're headquartered in Cincinnati. Life Issues Institute was co-founded by pro-life pioneer Dr. John Wilkie. He and Brad in 1991 put this organization together to serve the educational needs of the pro-life movement. Brad is also president of the International Right to Life Federation and a very frequent international speaker and lecturer on abortion and related life issues. He is also has daily commentary. Brad, thank you so much for being with us here on Crosstalk.
Well, thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
Brad, we've got a whole lot on the docket today, and every one of these is of great importance, but let's begin with the U.S. Supreme Court's recent decision released last Tuesday. Kind of a mixed opinion on a couple of matters. What came from the court?
Well, yes, it was a mixed bag, that's for sure. The good piece that came out of there was that the Supreme Court upheld part of the Indiana law signed by then-Governor Mike Pence that would require any aborted babies' bodies to receive the respect we give to any human remains, that they would need to either be buried or cremated and treated appropriately. And this was a significant thing in that we see here that the court does not consider the unborn babies just medical waste flushed into the sewer system. They recognized the personhood of the unborn child in that these children deserve a respectful disposition.
I saw that the Church of Satan was not happy about that.
Anytime there's a ruling against abortion, yes, the Church of Satan is up in arms, and we hear from them. And I think that's a good thing, because I think people are naturally associating Satan with abortion, which is very appropriate.
Mm-hmm. What about the other part of the court's decision?
Okay, well, this was a disappointment, but honestly, to those of us who are watching the court carefully, it's not a big surprise, and I'll explain that in a second. But the court did not take on the part of the law also signed by then-Governor Mike Pence that would have stopped any abortion that was considered a discrimination abortion. In other words, aborting a baby because of the sex of the baby, the race of the baby, or the fact that the child may have Down syndrome. Now, those of us who have been watching the court and you know, watching what they're doing, the Supreme Court can literally do whatever they want to do. And a close friend of mine who has argued 9 cases before the Supreme Court and has won 8 of them, is of the philosophy, and I tend to probably agree with this, that the court will not just outright reverse Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton that legalized abortion throughout pregnancy. What he thinks they'll do is begin to take it piece by piece, small piece by piece. feeling that once we have an additional vote where a vote would be like 6-3 instead of a bare majority, then we would see the court take on more substantive issues. This is an indication that he may be right and others who are watching the court closely may be right. While we would really like just a flat-out reversal of Roe v. Wade, the reality is probably not going to be the case.
My. Well, as you know, Brad, there's really a battle going on with amongst the justices themselves. And I saw Justice Thomas arguing very strongly and warning that the use of abortion to achieve eugenic goals is not merely hypothetical. He's right, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely. And it was rather stunning that he said that. Not surprising stunning, but stunning in its potential impact. Because here you have a black justice of the Supreme Court saying that, like as you said, enshrining a constitutional right to an abortion based solely on the race, sex, or disability of an unborn child, as Planned Parenthood advocates, would constitutionalize the views of the 20th century eugenics movement. Mm. And I think we all, on both sides of the issue, read that and went, oh, he's, you know, and I think the other side knows he's right. And he said that the law that they did not take up, much to his disappointment, was an issue of first impression. Now, that's an important legal term, and that the court hasn't ruled up or down on this issue before. And he said it remains an open question. Now, that's part of our strategy in the Susan B. Anthony families. We want to promote laws that stop discrimination abortions like this. In the Seventh Circuit Court in Indiana, the court denied it. Now, a piece of legislation very similar in Ohio, targeting just Down syndrome aspects of it, is before the courts now. And in the Sixth Circuit, where we are, we think that it stands a good chance of being sustained. Now, that's a good situation legally. If you have a split appellate decisions like that, then the Supreme Court feels more compelled to take on the issue. And this is kind of what Clarence Thomas is hinting at.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, not only is abortion utilized to kill because of race or sex selection, but it was just a few years ago, I think it was the Charlotte Lozier Institute estimated that abortion reduces the Down syndrome community in the U.S. by some 30%. And I thought, boy, Brad, this is rather, both effective but barbaric. You just kill them, and that's how you reduce the Down syndrome population. And certainly we would hope that the court would see the eugenics that are engaged here.
Yes, it's absolutely appalling and brutal, the things that, yes, they're not resolving the condition of Down syndrome. They're just killing the people who have the condition. And it's a situation, a law that a vast majority of Americans support.
I thought also interesting, last week, Lila Rose over at Live Action, they reposted a video in which they made calls to Planned Parenthood, and representatives there were eagerly ready to accept donations to pay for the abortion, designated abortion of a black baby.
Yes, yes. Well, and that's very amenable to the founder, Martha Sanger, who back when she started this organization wanted very much, she was very open and honest about it. She had what they called the Negro Project, and they were working through black pastors to keep black women from having children. They were referred to as undesirables and weeds, and so it's just more of the same, and we're seeing it just recycled, repackaged, sometimes trying to go under the radar, but I think Clarence Thomas helped to expose this for what it really is.
Brad Mattis with us today from the Life Issues Institute. Brad, I'd like you to also comment on another justice, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who claimed that pregnant women are not mothers, writing that a woman who exercises her constitutionally protected right to terminate a pregnancy is not a mother. True science denier here, isn't she?
I call that flat earth science, is what she demonstrates, and other pro-abortion activists. And clearly, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is a pro-abortion activist. She spent 11 years or so with the ACLU, admittedly an activist for abortion on demand. And it's as if they can just declare a revision of modern science and medical reality as we know it to make their point of view, and that is just not possible. There is not their truth. There is only the truth.
Amen. Brad, prior to the program, I said one of the things we're going to talk about today is a big lie of Planned Parenthood, and you said, which one? And, it was a very accurate response because there are so many, but there is a claim that's being repeated so many times that people are just believing it, and they're claiming that thousands of women died every year before the 73 Roe v. Wade ruling because they lacked access to safe abortion. And we're hearing this more and more because they are also fearing that Roe v. Wade would be overturned. But this is a big Pinocchio, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, it's four Pinocchios, as I'll explain in a second. But Planned Parenthood, as you said, has repeatedly been saying thousands of women died every year. Now, their new president, Lena Nguyen, has been repeatedly tweeting that and recently was quoted saying that in an interview. So the Washington Post, which is pro-abortion, their editorial position is pro-abortion, by the way, did some research on that and fact-checked it. Now, the long story short is what Lena Nguyen was stating statistics, and she knew their source. She was stating them from a wildly exaggerated study from the 1930s, before penicillin was invented. So she received four Pinocchios from the pro-abortion Washington Post for blatantly lying about the reality. Now, the Centers for Disease Control, a government agency, is on record as stating there were 39 deaths of women from illegal abortion in 1972, the year before abortion was legalized by Roe v. Wade, 39. Now, that's 39 tragedies, but it's a far cry from thousands, namely 5 to 10,000 that they've been quoting.
And how many children a day are being killed by abortion?
Well, Planned Parenthood's killing about 1,000 a day themselves. About 2,600 babies are dying every day, over 100 every hour. And every 35 seconds, another heart is stilled by abortion.
My. So when there were, in essence, 39 women who died in 1972 as a result of self-abortions or
illegal
abortions, thank you, but that just really pales in comparison to even what happens within a single hour.
Oh, absolutely, yes. And you know, that's just typical. The pro-abortion side doesn't have an argument. They don't have science on their side. They don't have morality on their side. They don't have medical ethics on their side. They don't have reality on their side, so they make up information.
We'll be back in just 1 minute here on Crosstalk. Brad Mattis with us from the Life Issues Institute. We're going to delve into a number of states and what's happening in the states, Georgia, Illinois, Missouri, Louisiana, just many states getting a grip on this matter of life versus death. Back in just 1 minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are animals more and more intelligent as they march up the evolutionary tree?
Chris, let's get this straight. Evolution did not happen. There is no valid evolutionary tree. There are no higher animals. It stands to reason in evolution that the apes would be the most intelligent of the animals, only bested by mankind. While it is true that apes have a larger brain than do, say, toads, there are a lot of animals thought to be lower on the evolutionary tree which are quite intelligent. A number of insects can do things that would astound you. Now even a fish has been discovered that can use tools in digging its burrow. Chris, there is no hierarchy of the animals leading to man. Each of the animals were created separately after their kind, each with unique abilities. Chris, it makes so much sense when you go back to Genesis for your starting point.
You can find us on the web at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Brad Mattis is with us today. He is president and CEO of Life Issues Institute. Brad, before we talk about what's going on in the States, give us a word about Life Issues Institute. What are you doing there?
Sure. Life Issues Institute is the only organization that's dedicated solely to pro-life education, which is the foundation of political and legislative victories. It's virtually, literally, underpins everything that we have in the movement that's a success. I do a daily radio commentary, as you mentioned. We're on about 1,200 outlets across the nation. I hosted a TV program for 8 seasons. We picked up 3 Emmy Awards for that. We do research and writing. Our stuff is in over 30 different languages. And our major website, lifeissues.org, has over 5,000 pages of pro-life educational information. Mm-hmm. That's lifeissues.org.
It really is a go-to source, isn't it?
It is, and we're happy to share everything we have with anybody who needs it.
Again, folks, that's lifeissues.org. Well, Brad, as you know, there's a lot going on in individual states, and we're going to look at a number of them. Let's start with Georgia, though. I mean, the angry left is very much in arms over legislation passed there. What's happened in Georgia with pro-life legislation?
Well, you know, anytime you get Hollywood actors all excited, you're doing something right. And Georgia passed legislation that would stop abortion anytime at the point of that a heartbeat can be detected in the doctor's office, which means it would stop most all abortions. And, of course, Hollywood doesn't like that. Well, the thing is Georgia has been giving Hollywood some good tax incentives to film there.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been doing a lot of projects in Georgia, and now they're incensed that Georgia would have the gall to stand up for all of its citizens, including unborn babies. And several of them, including Netflix and Disney, have indicated that they may be boycotting Georgia in the future if this law goes into effect. I think it's bluster. I think in the end, the almighty dollar is going to win out in their decision. But it's a way for the hard left to reiterate their blind loyalty to the abortion industry.
And there have even been some threats from CBS and NBC doing some boycotts there. I'm not quite sure how that would work, but I just think about this. We've got Disney. They just opened this multi-billion-dollar resort in China a few years ago, and you think about the forced abortions there coupled with the unrelentless human rights abuses. Evidently, it's okay with Disney, just don't protect little babies.
Right. It's total hypocrisy that they would claim the moral high ground in one area, even when they don't have it, because they're defending killing unborn babies. And while looking at the mass killing of human life in other countries where they've set up shop.
In addition to Georgia, we've got some other states with heartbeat legislation. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. And it's hard to keep them all straight. Kentucky, Ohio, Alabama, I think. And the interesting thing is, Jim, is that the other side was calling this a bunch of men who are old white men, I think is their favorite phrase. And several of these heartbeat bills that have passed in various states, I think Arkansas is another one, were sponsored or introduced by women. Several of them were signed by women governors. And in Louisiana, for instance, Missouri's another one. In Louisiana, it was sponsored and introduced by a black Democrat pro-life woman.
Wow.
And so this is a women's movement. Those of us who are men are absolutely happy to be involved and supportive of this. We should be. We should have a say in it. But a majority of this is pushed and mobilized and run by women.
Yeah, I think it's rather outrageous. The New York Times described this Louisiana heartbeat law with some rather bizarre terms. They called the heartbeat embryonic pulsing. I mean, talk about dehumanizing babies.
Well, you know, that's just like they don't have medical science on their side.
Mm-hmm.
It is a heart. It is beating and can be detected. And so they will do whatever they can to dehumanize that unborn child. They refer to the child as a fetus, which is Latin for little one, anything they can to take away the human nature of that child.
Yeah, again, using the term now, embryonic pulsing. Brad, let's go to Illinois. I know it's very outrageous what they have just unfolded, a number of pieces of very anti-God pieces of legislation last week on so many different fronts, but it's outrageous what they've done on this matter of life.
Yes, and Illinois is the one that stands out the most as far as killing human life. It is the worst piece of legislation in the nation. It exceeds that of New York, I'm very sad to say. Chicago has a long history, and Illinois has a long history of lack of protection of human life. But let me share with you just why this is such a bad bill, because it eliminates protections for any babies who were born alive during a botched late-term abortion. So if the baby's born alive, they can kill the baby and have no repercussions for that. Mm. And that is infanticide.
Yes.
That is a medically accepted term for that act. It repeals the state law to end the barbaric partial birth abortion ban that was enacted some time ago. It allows them to kill a child during delivery, and for us to get into the details of that would probably be crossing the line for family radio, which we can't do, but you can Google it and get plenty of information. It specifically creates a fundamental right to abortion on demand to the moment of birth for any reason. It also sets up a legal framework to abolish the state's parental notification law. And it removes licensing requirements for all the abortion mills throughout the state. It allows non-doctors to perform abortions,
which is
really shocking and dangerous for women. It forces all private health insurance plans to cover abortion on demand. And it includes religious organizations. So if your church has a staff, an insurance plan for that staff, if this is not challenged in court, it would force your church to pay for abortion on demand in that insurance program. It, as I said, expressly declares unborn babies have no rights, and it removes all conscience protections for doctors, nurses, hospitals that don't want to take part in killing unborn babies. It also eliminates the requirement that the abortion data in that state be publicly reported, keeping things secret. And it eliminates the requirement to investigate deaths of women due to an abortion. So you can see that a lot of this is just anti-women, anti-protection of the welfare of women, not to mention open season throughout pregnancy on the unborn babies themselves.
Folks, in just a short time, I'm going to be providing you some phone numbers for the governor of Illinois, Governor Pritzker. But first, I want us to hear this a very impassioned plea by a state representative who herself is with child. It is State Representative Avery Bourne, and she pleads with her fellow lawmakers not to go down this road. Here's her testimony.
This bill will mean that for a woman at my stage in pregnancy, where the baby responds to his dad's voice as he reads him books at night, the woman could go to the facility. The baby is perfectly healthy. But if that woman says, based on my familial health, this is medically necessary, that is allowed. We are talking about the most expansive bill we have seen in this state and across one of the most expansive across the country. We already know we've got women coming to Illinois to have abortions because we are so expansive on this issue. That will continue. This bill is not about keeping abortion legal in Illinois. This is about a massive expansion that will impact viable babies. And that is wrong. I would ask you all to please vote no.
Brad, your response.
Well, you know, if that doesn't cause a tear in your eye, then there's something wrong with you. I disagree with one thing she said. She said it is one of the most expensive laws in the United States. It is the worst, most expensive law in the United States of America. It's the worst law possible that has been passed so far. And it's interesting to note, I don't know if people watch statistics from Chicago, but this past weekend, Jim, 52 people were shot and 10 people killed in Chicago. We're talking about a state, a community where a human life just has, there's no regard for human life anymore. Yeah. And it's just so sad that we're seeing all of this demonstrated from a state that has such good, wonderful law-abiding people in it.
Brad, she also used the term familial health, health, you know, pertaining to one's family. That's kind of a new term in this whole discussion, isn't it?
Well, no, it's really not, because it was referenced in Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton, the companion cases. And what she means by that is any law that affects any situation that affects the family. If a woman feels she has too many children to take care of, or she can't afford children, or there's a stress of out-of-wedlock pregnancy, anything that impacts the family or perceive the family, and that's defined very broadly. And what that actually means is abortion on demand. It's a loophole big enough to drive a Mack truck through. And the Supreme Court and state legislators, members of Congress, when they say we need an exception for the health of the mother in legislation to end abortion, they know that it means abortion on demand.
Friends, again, this was passed by the House. It was passed by the Senate in Illinois. Goes to Governor Pritzker, who is anticipated to sign this legislation into law. And I'm going to provide you phone numbers for his Springfield office as well as his Chicago office. And some of you may say, well, you know, what good does it do? And I'll say this, it's always right to do right. And to let him know that you are watching and standing up, and certainly that this is a violation of what God's word commands on this issue, that human life indeed is sacred. You can contact Governor Pritzker's office at, I've got three numbers here, 217-782-6830. This takes you to his Springfield office, 217-782-6830 or 6831, same numbers, but 6831 for the last four digits. Or his Chicago office is area code 312-814-2121. That's 312-814-2121. After the break, I want you to hear the prayer that a pastor gave in the Illinois legislature, in the House of Representatives this past Friday, where he's asking God to bring his judgment upon the state for sanctioning the destruction of the unborn. Back in just a minute, this is Crosstalk.
The phone rings and your heart stops. You look down at the screen and see the name of your dear friend who has been waiting for biopsy results. As your shaking fingers fumble to answer the call, your heart cries out a silent prayer. You immediately hear the shock and sadness in her voice. You know, even before she utters the words, it's cancer. What do you say? What do you do at such a time? You want to be supportive, but don't know how to. In the book, Loving Your Friend Through Cancer, cancer survivor Marissa Henley shares from her heart the struggles of cancer, but also presents very practical ideas on ministering to your friend or loved one with emotional needs, spiritual needs, tackling logistical needs, and far more to lend support. Loving Your Friend Through Cancer is available for a donation of $16 or more from VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and folks, we're discussing this battle for life today, and certainly we saw what just transpired in Illinois. You've got the phone numbers here to contact Governor Pritzker and to take a stand for what the Word of God has to say on this issue. But I'm so thankful for a pastor. He is the pastor of New Beginnings Church in Fairfield, Illinois. Now, that's just down the road from our station in Olney, Illinois, Pastor Corey Musgrave. And he opened the House of Representatives in prayer on Friday, in which he asked God to judge the state for sanctioning the destruction of the unborn. I'd like you to listen to what he prayed this past Friday.
Father, we come to you today and thank you for how much you have blessed Illinois. Throughout history, we can see your hand on this great state, from influential leaders that are sons and daughters of Illinois to the abundant natural resources you have entrusted us with in the South, in the industrial capacity in the North. God, you have delegated all of humanity with managing your creation, and the 118 members of this House you have raised up with the great responsibility of leading Illinois. God, we thank you for granting us the ability to choose our own direction, even though those choices have consequences. All throughout your word, it is clear that you give us a choice. God, you even said, "Today I give you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live." So God, I confess here today that I have not always made the right choice, and I thank you for being a merciful God that forgives and restores when we turn back to you. Lord, I also confess, as an eighth generation son of Illinois, that this state has decided to go its own way apart from you. In the same way Nehemiah cried out, I pray, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for the people of Illinois. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly. God, none of our evil actions have been hidden from you. You see everything. Lord, you have told us those things which you hate, and among them are hands that shed innocent blood. I stand here in this house, in this high place in Illinois, and ask you, O God, creator of heaven and earth, if there is any blood more innocent than a baby that is wonderfully being created in the womb. God, those unborn children are not hidden from you. The psalmist David exclaimed, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. So God, we have made our appeals to the leaders of Illinois this week on behalf of those innocent babies who do not yet have a voice. We have been a voice for those who cannot speak for themselves, as you have commanded us. Those appeals were denied, but we have one final appeal left, and that is to the courts of heaven. God Almighty, I make an appeal to heaven today, to you, the perfect judge, the one who presides over heaven's court. I ask you to rise up, O God, and judge Illinois for the sanctioned destruction of the innocent unborn. For when your judgments are in this state, the inhabitants of Illinois learn righteousness. In this house, I pray for justice to roll down like water, and righteousness like a mighty river. In your judgment, I pray that you would remember mercy, for we know that you, O God, do not want anyone to be destroyed. I ask this in the name of your Son, the one who died for a sinner like me, the one who is appointed to judge the living and the dead. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Brad Mattis.
Oh, amen again. It's not often you witness or hear such boldness and such strength coming from the true Word of God. And for him to speak truth to power there in the Illinois legislature, they will not have any excuse come judgment day when they meet their maker if they have rejected the witness that he has provided that day.
Indeed. And friends, I can only imagine the harsh phone calls that he is receiving from liberal groups across the country. And so I'm just going to mention the church phone number. And if you'd certainly like to call and encourage the pastor, you can do so. Their number is 618-842-3683. That's the New Beginnings Church in Fairfield, Illinois, 618-842-3683. Or drop an email to nbclife@gmail.com. That stands for New Beginnings Church, nbclife@gmail.com. Brad, I will get to phones here in just a moment, but we have to go over to the state of Missouri next, because I know they were news was building up to this past Friday when it appeared that the state's last abortion clinic would be forced to be closed. Why was closure imminent? What's going on in Missouri?
Well, what it mostly boils down to was an inspection of March this year, which they failed. And the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services said that there were multiple violations or discrepancies. They called them deficient practices. One of them included at least one case where the patient safety was gravely compromised. It involved failed surgical abortions where women were still pregnant afterward. We think that's a good thing, but of course they think that's not good when it fails. There was a problem with quality control and communication regarding the pathology lab, and there was a lack of evidence that they were not giving women informed consent. It also involved a situation where Planned Parenthood is not cooperating in providing abortionists to be interviewed by the State Department of Health, and also their refusal to provide an additional pelvic examination for chemical abortions, which safety standards have been raised, and Planned Parenthood doesn't want to comply with that. So it looks like last week the state's one of Planned Parenthood's most notorious abortion facilities. They maimed a lot of women who have been transferred to hospitals due to botched abortions, was going to be closed. A circuit judge, of course, stepped in and granted a temporary restraining order on that.
And Brad, I'm just seeing here from NBC News that it looks like tomorrow there's going to be a hearing on this very matter in Missouri.
Yes, well, thank you for that. It was scheduled to be discussed again or addressed this week, so tomorrow will probably be the day. If one judge allows women to continue to be at risk by an abortion facility that has proven itself not to care about women's health, then that will be appealed, I'm sure. The governor is very strong there and has said that nobody is above the law, and it doesn't matter if there's just one killing center left in the state or not, they have to abide by the law as it's written.
Our phone number to Crosstalk here, folks, is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Your comments on our topic today, or perhaps you have a question on it, 800-733-9829. And certainly Illinois standing in the crosshairs right now. It appears the governor has given every indication he's going to sign that legislation in Illinois. Certainly you have the numbers there to be in communication with him. A courageous pastor in Illinois standing up and meaningful, bold prayer before the state legislature. Brad, we could go on and on what's happening in many other states. Is it just me? Is there this issue really, really coming to a head here in this country?
Oh, it absolutely is, Jim. We are so thankful. We give glory to God for this. The momentum just continues to build for the cause for life. The evidence for the cause for life, exposing the lies and deceptions and brutality of those who advocate for abortion. I've been in this since 75, and I've never seen an opportunity before us as it is now. So we must do all that we can to continue to push continue to fight to end legal abortion in America.
And, folks, again, our number, 800-733-9829. Brad, if they go to your site, will they find information how they can get engaged, involved in this battle for life?
Oh, absolutely. We have a section of the website just describing that, what you can do to help protect life. Educating yourself is the first step, because you can share that information with family, friends, coworkers, neighbors, church members, and help them understand the importance and the urgency of ending abortion.
Again, folks, the website is lifeissues.org, lifeissues.org. Taking your calls today on Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, Bridgeport, West Virginia. Al, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for taking my call, brother. I appreciate that. And Brother Brad, thank you so much for what you're doing for all of us out there. It's greatly appreciated, man. Listen, you know, we were talking about Down syndrome kids earlier. I've been a coach in, it's called Challenger Little League. It's a division of Little League for handicapped children. And I've got several Down syndrome children on my team, and it's very rewarding to get out there and to serve them, like, you know, like my Lord taught me to do. And it's a wonderful thing. But 48 years ago, my mother-in-law was encouraged to have an abortion and abort my wife. And I'm very thankful that that did not occur, because I wouldn't have my children, wouldn't have her. I've been together for almost 29 years, and it's over half my life. It's a long time, but I love her dearly. She's a great friend, and look, it could have been very easily for them to do that, and I would have never have met her. But you know, they think what they're doing is they think they're winning, Jim. But I'm gonna tell you something. God's team's going to win in the end.
Amen.
And there's no doubt, brother, no doubt, in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, thank you, Al. Appreciate that. And, Brad, as you talked about Down's young people on his team, what joy they emit.
Oh, indeed. And I've talked to countless families, interacted with countless individuals with Down syndrome. And if parents only knew the blessings in store for them when they get a diagnosis of Down syndrome, during pregnancy, we have a wonderful list of resources for parents who will find themselves in that situation, including access to other parents who have been there, mm-hmm. who have experienced that shocking news, and can walk them through the process.
That's lifeissues.org. Let's go next to Lodi, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Shocking news. And can walk.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Charlie here?
Go ahead, Charlie. You're on the air.
Yeah, quickly, I just want you to know that years and years ago, I was involved with a woman getting an abortion, and there was no reason for it. It was before Roe versus Wade, so it was actually illegal. It was at in Philadelphia, and mm-hmm. the doctor said they would do it by calling it a therapeutic abortion, because my woman... saw a psychiatrist for about 10 minutes. It was a sham, and it was just for the money, and they didn't give a squat about it. And
I tell you what, I'm going to interrupt you there. I'm going to have Brad comment after the break. Thank you for the call. Back in just 60 seconds, this is Crosstalk, our number 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Well, did you know that Agenda 2030 from the United Nations calls for all the people of the world to have legal identity, including birth registration? This is setting up for a universal ID card. How do we know this? Well, there's a website, Find Biometrics, and its subtitle is Global Identity Management. And the headline? UN agency selects Accenture for refugee biometrics project. And it's going to start with collecting data on refugees. And all this data will be at a database center in Geneva, Switzerland. And then there's this from 2015. World Bank, Accenture call for universal ID. There it is, folks, in plain print. The World Bank, connected to the United Nations, is working with a group to create a universal ID. Revelation 13 says there's a time coming when no one will be able to buy or sell unless they have the mark. The stage is set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled.
Brad Mattis is with us today from lifeissues.org, a wealth of material there, lifeissues.org. Brad, that caller leading into the break talked about, a doctor condoned it, had this 10, 15 minute with a psychiatrist, therapeutic abortion.
Yeah, Charlie's story is sadly all too familiar. We've heard a lot of that. And that's why legislation passing in the states is critically important, in that it very, very carefully and specifically describes under what conditions an abortion could be done for the health of the mother. And basically, it's a threat to her life or grave, serious threat to her health, and not just psychology or just a trumped-up, made-up excuse.
Let's go to Becky in Reedstown, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Becky.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. My name's Becky, and I live in Reedstown, Wisconsin, and I am staunchly pro-life in every way, shape, and form.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that even within the pro-life movement, if we would call it what it is and not couch it in politically correct terms, maybe we would have never had what's known as an abortion if we had called it from the beginning slaughter in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, the Lord laid on my heart to write a poem, and it's very short. Do you mind if I read it, please?
As long as it's short, because we're short on time.
Okay. It's called Mommy, Consider Me. Mommy, consider me, for if you would ask, should I be born? Or by a doctor's knife be torn, I would reply, without a doubt, I'd choose to laugh and run and sing and shout. So, Mommy, consider me. Mommy, consider me, for to give me life is to obey, and to grant me what no human should take away. When I'm alive, we'll hug and kiss, then you'll understand what you nearly missed. So, Mommy, consider me.
Wow. Thank you, Becky.
Thank you, and God bless you dearly.
And you as well. Thank you for the call.
Doctor, and Becky, if you would forward that to us at lifeissues.org, I have an archive of original works that someday will be on display in a museum, and I'd like to include your work.
Again, Becky, send that to lifeissues.org. Dr. Anna in Phoenix, Arizona, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I'm a practicing family medicine here,
mm-hmm.
and I'd like to speak on behalf of many patients who come in as grandparents, fathers, siblings of babies who were aborted, and their sadness and my treatment of them for post-abortion syndrome.
Mm.
I hear women saying it's my choice, my body, and basically saying we don't have a right to even have an opinion. Mother is basically saying, as far as I'm concerned, if you're suffering over the loss of your grandchildren or siblings, be quiet in your suffering, because this was my decision, and I don't want to hear about you how it's affected you.
Wow.
It's very insidious, and it's a horrible thing, and I've been waiting and praying, you know, for years that this day would come.
Yeah.
That we would gain our position of power back. And I'm so grateful that we have.
Hello, doctor?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. So grateful that we have. And indeed, and we are seeing this issue really come to the forefront. I know, Brad, it's heartwarming for you to hear a medical doctor, but sharing the horrifying truth that that post-abortion, the feelings
syndrome.
And the syndrome is that which is really impacting many.
Oh, absolutely. And Dr. Anna, you are worth your weight in gold, patients, that you would help them in that way, because so many don't believe that abortion leaves any impact on people who choose it. And I counsel fathers who have lost a child to abortion and can testify mm-hmm. Firsthand that they suffer terribly. Recently, mm-hmm. I talked on the radio commentary about a well-known actor in Italy who was now at 80, is still lamenting the fact that he and his partner aborted his son when he was very young. He actually mm-hmm. wrote a book and composed a poem to his son, and he said that every day he asks God to forgive him.
Wow.
He's 80, and yeah. So you can only imagine the decades of anguish that he's experienced.
Wow.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
No, I'm happy to.
Thank you, Dr. Anna, for your call today.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Ann in Santa Fe, New Mexico. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I've never gotten a very good answer to this question, but I still don't understand how the argument can go against putting up this baby that if you don't want for adoption.
Go ahead, Brad.
That's a great point. Adoption is not expressed as an opportunity or alternative to abortion nearly enough. I think it's because people are afraid of it because they don't fully understand it. But to a woman who's facing an unexpected pregnancy, I would say this. Consider placing your child for adoption because there are a myriad of choices available to you, whether it be a totally closed and confidential adoption, or a totally open adoption where the mother is involved with that child's life or anything in between. She can select the religious affiliation, geographic location, whether there's siblings in the family already or not. She is totally in control of the situation and has a myriad of choices available to her. Adoption doesn't diminish her choices. It multiplies them.
Mm, wow. Thank you, Anne, for raising the issue. And we are, less than a minute left. Don't have time for further phone calls. Brad, what would you like to leave with the listeners on this issue today?
Well, it's very important you be educated and that you reach out and contact people. I'm going to reach out to the church with the pastor and thank them for standing boldly. We need to let them know that when they do, we appreciate it because that encourages us and motivates us. Make sure that whoever you vote for, whether it be dog catcher or president of the United States, that you only vote for pro-life candidates because they may be in a position ultimately in their political careers to have life or death decision at their fingertips. And we need to reach out to those who have chosen abortion to let them know that we love you, we don't judge you, and we can help you if you reach us through lifeissues.org.
Very good. Again, the website, folks, lifeissues.org. Lifeissues.org. Brad Mattis, as always, thanks for carving out the time and helping to further educate our issues and our listeners on these issues and just the commentary you provide as well to get us thinking here on the importance of life.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
And, folks, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.